And while they leave, I'll leave you a puzzle. John, can we put the puzzle on the screen? You may have seen this if you're on a Facebook user, but if not, I wonder whether you can work out the challenge. A few bright, smiling faces come up. I'll give you a clue. Perhaps you need to look at it from a different perspective. Perhaps you need to turn your world upside down. So the answer is number 87. Because you need to turn your world upside down. And as we look at this passage this morning, I believe God wants to turn your world upside down. You've been looking at your world and your situation and your circumstances. You've been looking at it in completely the wrong way. You've been looking at it upside down. And this morning we're continuing our series looking at my church, looking at what it means to be a Baptist. And this morning, part of our Baptist declaration principle is that we looked at how as Baptists we live our life together by the Word of God, but in community, how the Holy Spirit comes and leads us into the truth of Scripture. And this morning I want to look at that work of the Holy Spirit and how He leads us into the truth of Scripture. And say, I think God wants to turn your world upside down this morning. He wants you to look at your life from a completely different perspective because you're looking at it completely wrong. And we're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and a really exciting passage. One of those passages that you just just blows your mind, but we're going to read it together if you really think about it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you've got your Bibles, we're going to read it together from verse 6 to verse 16. It would help if you do have a Bible to read it because it is quite an amazing passage and will help us this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul writes this, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." Isn't that just an amazing verse? Just let the Spirit sing that into you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. And then this verse is even more amazing. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This passage is comparing worldly wisdom against true godly wisdom. The problem with the church in Corinth is they were taken in by the philosophy of their age and of their world. Philosophy simply means someone who loves wisdom. And they were taken in the loving the wisdom of the world, and they were being drawn by it. They come to know Jesus, but the wisdom of their age, the wisdom of their world, how they should live, was still influenced by their culture and the society. And Paul here is saying, you need your world turned upside down. You need to stop thinking like the worldly wisdom and worldly philosophy. You have to come and understand what true wisdom, true way of living is. Because wisdom is more than knowledge. They say, good definition of wisdom, difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit bowl. Because there is a point of actually wisdom is living out knowledge. What does it mean? How should we live? And it's important that we begin to know what true wisdom is. But what is right is that we need to live out from a philosophy. How many of you love Apple products? Do you love Apple products? Who's got Apple products? Aren't they great? What is the excitement of an Apple product? The first excitement is seeing the packaging. You could spend hours enjoying the packaging, let alone what's in it. And then when you get in it, you can actually amaze at the way it works. I've had to move from an Apple to an Android, and I'm hating it. Just because the design and the feel and how it operates is so different. And Apple is one of the most successful companies in the world. Why is it so successful? Well, there was this interesting, I don't know whether you come across TED Talks, but they're fascinating talks about innovators, about what makes innovators so successful. One of them was about why Apple is so successful. And he talks about the golden circle. And he says why they're so successful is most people know what they are doing. So most computer companies know that they make computers. That's what they do. They then know how they do it, and they go about making computers as best they can, and then they begin to think, why are they doing it? But what this TED Talk tells us, someone called Simon Sinek, is very interesting. He says, Apple and innovators turn this completely on the head. They don't begin with the what question or the how question, they begin with the why question. Why question? What is the purpose? Why does Apple exist? What is your core belief? What affects everything you do? And so he comes with the conclusion that Apple have sold this belief that we believe in challenging the status quo and doing things differently. We believe in the beauty and the ease of technology. And that's what they believe. And that core belief then turned into how they went about making computers. How they went about doing it. It changed their whole philosophy of their company and how they began to innovate and think through that. And then only was the what, how they put that into practice, came out. And they're growing, because now Apple don't just do computers, do they? They've taken their core belief and they've put it into all sorts of things. I think they can put it into a car soon, don't they say, or something? Their products are increasing because of the why. And can I suggest that actually if we do life, we often do it in terms of what is life? What do we have to do? What do we have to do this week? What are my responsibilities? What am I about? And then we think, well, if that's what I've got to do, if they are my responsibilities, I then think, how am I going to do it? How can I fit that into this week? And then maybe if we've managed to get through the how, we may then think, well, why am I doing this? Can I suggest wisdom and true wisdom begins with the question, why? Why? the purpose. What am I about? What am I living this life for? In what ways the philosophy that underpins everything I do, that will determine how I work, how I raise my family, how I use my money, how I spend my time. That's what philosophy is, and we have to begin with the why question. And this passage tells us that it's the Spirit of God that enables us to work from the why question through to the how and then to the what question. And it's through three words: revelation, inspiration, and illumination. And if we're going to move from wisdom, the why, to the how and the what, the Holy Spirit needs to move us through these three. The first and the most important is the why, the revelation. Verse 10 tells us that God has revealed it to us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But He has revealed it to us by the Spirit. There is a revelation needed to understand true wisdom. If we read back in 1 Corinthians, we read that actually the wisdom of God is foolishness. But it is true wisdom. It is the wisdom of God. And what is the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, is Christ crucified. This is the wisdom of God. He says, where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The why of everything is Christ crucified. That's the why. That's why Scripture says in an unusual verse that Christ was crucified before the creation of time. Because the why of God, even before creation, even before Adam and Eve were created, even before the world was created, the why has always and will always be Christ crucified. That is the why of everything. And until we grasp that, we won't have true wisdom. But it's not something that can be grasped. It's something that has to be revealed. That we can know the story of Jesus, His life, His death and resurrection, but it is the needing the Holy Spirit to turn our world upside down by this message. Because it needs to be revealed. It's not that we don't know the story or the truth of the message, but only can it become a why when the Holy Spirit reveals that this is the purpose of life. This is the central being, that God loves us. That God is not holding our past against us. That God isn't holding our sin against us. God isn't holding our rejection of God against us. But in Christ, God is reconciling the world to God through the death of God and His resurrection. We have the why of life. We come to know God. We come to experience God. That's the purpose. That's the why. And stop looking at your circumstances and trying to interpret your circumstances until you've understood the why. Until you've understood Christ crucified. And then that is the purpose of your life. Christ crucified. That may help you understand suffering. That may help you understand the pain and the difficulties you're going through. That may help you understand how you can keep on keeping on. Because as you understand that, you will begin to understand that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. And by His Holy Spirit, we get a sense of the love of God. We get something sense of the treasure of God that is in part. It's a down payment, Paul tells us, the Spirit, because it anticipates something so much greater, so much bigger, that we're only just beginning to conceive and understand by the Spirit. That's the revelation because of Jesus. And the work of the Holy Spirit, the work he comes is to reveal Jesus. Jesus himself said that. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he will testify, he will bear witness to himself, no, to God the Father, no, to Jesus. Because that is the why. The Holy Spirit comes to reveal Jesus to us, to see him as the God, Savior, Healer, Redeemer, the power of God unto salvation, the power of God that changes our lives and turns it upside down and brings God to us. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul's great prayer in Ephesians 1 prays that the Holy Spirit will enable us to grasp, to know Christ, to know him and how wide and high and deep is the love of God. It's only as the Holy Spirit makes Jesus and Christ crucified share the love of God that we actually know him better. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why, as Jesus says, we need to be born again of water and the Spirit. If you want to know the why of life, you need the Spirit to reveal Jesus to you. If you want to know the purpose, if you want to know God's, what he's prepared for you and his love, you need to know Jesus and you need the Spirit to reveal that to you. That's the why. That's the purpose. And let's stop asking the what and the how questions until we've got the why sorted. Until we've come and experienced Jesus. And this morning, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He doesn't want you to give you more head knowledge about Jesus. You know the story. You know the gospel. You know the truth. He wants to turn your world upside down by revealing it to you. And pouring the love of God into your heart. And really revealing the truth of Jesus. Secondly, if that's the why, what is the how? The how is through inspiration. We read here, we read in verse 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Quite what this verse means, different commentators would come up with different meanings, but I think they're probably both true. Some commentators will say what Paul's talking about is his scripture that he's writing. 1 Corinthians that he's writing, he's talking about, as in the other letters, that he's talking about that he's been given by the Spirit, words taught by the Spirit, that scripture itself is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And brings inspiration. And if we want to know the revelation of Jesus, we need to know the inspiration of Scripture. We can look at a number of verses. 2 Peter 1 talks about how the writers were led and by the Holy Spirit. We need 2 Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed. What's that word? The Spirit, God-spirited. Acts 1:16 talks again about how they were led by the Holy Spirit to write the prophet books. So the Holy Spirit inspires Scripture, is the author of Scripture. And if we want to know the how. If we want to know the how, once we've understood the why of Jesus, the how then is through the Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But not only inspired by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will come and will remind you of everything I've said and will teach you. And as we come to this inspired book, this is not any ordinary book. This is the how. This is us saying we believe in Jesus and therefore we will live out this book inspired by the Holy Spirit, taught to us by the Holy Spirit. We will live out this inspired book. That's why I love that creed song we sang. We talk about the creeds of the Christian faith. Why do we believe them? Because we believe in the name of Jesus. If you didn't believe in the name of Jesus, it wouldn't follow that you believed in the rest of it. But because we believe and have been revealed the Jesus to us, we then believe the truths of the Scripture. And if we know the why of our purpose, then we come to the inspiration of the Scripture to lead us into the how of living our lives. And as we come, and as our declaration as Baptist says, we come as a community under the God's Word with the Holy Spirit to lead us into the how of how we should be church together. But more significantly for us Baptists, how we are to live in an alien world of a very different philosophy to us. And we come together for discipleship, for sharing, for teaching one another. For enabling us to see what does it mean, those of us who know the why of life, the how is to live out this book inspired by the Holy Spirit, we gather to work that out together. But some commentators will also say that actually what he's talking about here is the spiritual person. And so often he talks about spiritual things where the word things doesn't appear, spiritual truths or spiritual things doesn't appear in the original. It's just spiritual. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he begins now about the spiritual. And then he talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Because the second thing commentators use is the Holy Spirit inspires us through the Word which we rely on. But He also inspires us by releasing the gifts of the Spirit among His people. Gifts of prophecy, gifts of speaking in other languages, gifts of wisdom and discernment and knowledge, gifts of healing, gifts of miracles. The Holy Spirit gifts these to His church. He gives different gifts to people, talks about the apostles and teachers and prophets and miracle workers as gifts to the church. Whether you like it or not, I'm your gift to you. You may want another gift, but that's, I am your gift. And we exercise gifts within the community to hear what God is saying to us. And that's what it means to be spiritual. Yes, of course, all the gifts that we operate today have to be subject to the inspired Word of God and will never differ or disagree with what is written down. But God releases His Spirit among us to speak, to teach, to encourage, to give words of wisdom and prophecy and insight. Things that don't come naturally to us but are gifts. And that's when we come together, we come as the how, we come as a community, under God's Word, exercising the gifts of the Spirit, coming together and saying, what does it mean for us who have understood that Jesus is the why, Him crucified is the why? That's what will determine everything we do and say, because we've come to know that Jesus by the revelation of the Spirit. Now the how is under His Word, which is inspired by the Spirit and taught by the Spirit, and through spiritual gifts, inspiration. But then the what. What is the what? The what is the illumination the Spirit gives. Goes on to say about the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. The word is not so much the normal word for judgment. It's more about appraising. It's more about making a decision. It's more about interpreting. And so as we come as individuals who are filled with the Spirit. And we make judgments. We make decisions. We interpret the how into the what. We interpret the why and the how into how I'm going to live my life now. How I'm going to spend my money. How I treat my work. How I raise my family. What is the what of what we actually do is the illumination of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us and illumines to us. We are led by the Spirit. Romans 8 and Galatians 5 tell, children of God are led by the Spirit. We don't know what to pray and the Spirit helps us. We get tempted by these desires and sins, but the Spirit helps us and we live according to the Spirit and we overcome and we put to death those other things. The Holy Spirit enables us to take the why and the how and to live it into the what. To apply it for your workplace, to apply it in your family, to apply it in the situation that you find yourself now. To actually say, what is going on in my life? Why is this happening? What should I do in this situation? When you understand the why and the how, you can then make decisions about the what. And the Holy Spirit comes to lead us and to guide us. How often am I praying for the Holy Spirit's wisdom? Simple choices I make about how to raise my children in responses I should do and take. What do? I pray. And as I pray, I trust that it's all about Jesus crucified. I trust His word and I allow the Holy Spirit to give me specific things for the what now of what I should be doing, how I should be living. And as I pray, God's Spirit gives me wisdom, gives us all wisdom. That turns our world upside down. Because it means I'm no longer controlled by the what I'm doing. The what doesn't affect my feelings or my emotions, doesn't take away my peace, doesn't cause turmoil within me, because I know why. I know the purpose of all things. I know the how. And all I need to do is say, Lord, this is the what. What does that mean for me with my rebellious children, when my marriage has broken, when I've lost my job, when I'm stressed, when I'm ill, whatever it is? But you can only ask the what questions when the Holy Spirit has revealed the why and inspired you with the how. Can you then say the what? Does that make sense? This is why it needs to turn your world upside down. And we need the Holy Spirit to reveal again to us. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him crucified. It's all about my past and my mistakes not being held against me, but me being forgiven, made a fresh start. We are a community that doesn't judge anyone on why they're here now. We don't judge anyone about what you've done last week or this year or in your past. We're all about the future that God has made possible for us. Don't ever anyone judge you on your past. God won't, because the cross of Christ means it's dealt with, it's forgiven. We come here today as a community. Come under the Spirit. Know that the past is forgiven. I'm loved by God. I've got a good, good Father. And to know that as I seek now, today, the how is within this community, under God's Spirit, with the gifts of the Spirit, to understand what we're about, how we're meant to live. And then I take that into the what of my unique situation. The Holy Spirit wants to turn your world upside down. The problem is, and the problem with the Corinthian church, is that they were so full of themselves that Paul had to remind them that none of you were wise, none of you were influential, none of you were significant. And actually we've got to have a lower view of ourselves that we may allow God to fill us. Because the problem, as we see in Corinthians, was pride. They all, well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I'm the more important, I'm the more significant. And pride ultimately was their downfall. Pride was why they were following other wisdoms and the wisdom of their day, because they wanted to be seen to be important, to be significant. Jesus crucified, that's foolishness. We want the wise and the intellectual. And Paul had to remind them that's pride. And what stops the Holy Spirit revealing, inspiring, illuminating? It's our pride. John Stott said, pride is more than the first of the seven deadly sins. It is itself the essence of all sins. Jonathan Edwards, who brought a great revival in America, says, remember that pride is the worst viper that is in the heart, the greatest disturber of the soul's peace and sweet communion with Christ. It was the first sin that ever was and lies lowest in the foundation of Satan's whole building and is the most difficulty rooted out and is the most hidden secret and deceitful of all lusts, and often creeps in insensibly into the midst of religion and sometimes under the disguise of humility. Pride stops us responding to the Spirit of God. Pride this morning will stop you receiving from the Spirit of God because you're saying, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'll go with the wisdom of the world. I can cope. The what I'm managing. I'm managing the what. I'm living day by day. I'm all right. That's pride. D.L. Moody, that great evangelist. If I can find his quote. Says, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. This morning we're just going to end with some worship. And how you respond is up to you. You may be full of yourselves and think, I don't need anything. Or you can come empty, needing God's Spirit to reveal to you afresh Jesus, to inspire you of the how to live out Scripture and to illuminate the what in your life. What does that mean now as you go home, as you go back to work? As you go back to your family, what are you going to do? But it's only as we come empty, it's only as we come to worship and allow the Spirit to reveal Jesus.